noon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy, buttery little Thursday. It's a nice day out there.
It's a good day to drive around in your truck and listen to Watermelon Moonshine.
You know what? I will say that song is on my... It's on one of my playlists.
And I'll tell you what, having just downloaded it here for the purposes of this show, probably rather listen to it than most Imagine Dragons songs.
That's right. It's a delight. I want to say best new song of the year the female artists of the year.
She was on Yellowstone. She was one of the country singers on Yellowstone.
So she's more talented than those guys too because she can act.
She was on there?
Yeah, she was on there. That's where I thought she was from.
Which one was she?
I don't know.
One of the singers on Yellowstone?
Well, she was one of the... Yeah, she sang on the show. They were playing her music. She fell in love with not one of the main characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, she was out there. They did a live show at the ranch.
Yes.
And she was that was her. Really?
And that's who I thought that was.
All right.
But, yeah, because there's been a couple country music singers on there, including Ryan Bingham, who plays Walker on that show, who is actually a real country artist and is very good. So,
so they're not the same at all. I bet they're exactly the same.
Yeah. Ryan Bingham, who has an Oscar, by the way, unlike your hot whatever the hell CMA award.
Female Artist of the Year.
One of them has an Oscar for Best Song. I don't think that's Lainey Wilson.
What does Radioactive Imagine Dragons have?
Dude, they're so bad.
It pains me that I'm defending Imagine Dragons.
And you continue to do so.
You're only doing so because you're an ass and you have no argument, but that's fine. That's you. We know that. Look.
Wilson.
The Imagine Dragons are like the new Nickelback.
I do feel
honestly.
That. Yeah.
They are. Yeah. I mean, they are so bad that it's funny. Become a bit.
I have a buddy of mine, and I can't really bring it up because they take it very
By the
personally.
Way, you know who just texted me?
What?
Somebody who actually has musical taste?
Yeah.
Brooke Olsendam.
And she's a Lainey Wilson.
Lainey Wilson is a treasure.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brooke. Thank you.
Look, everyone on the text program, their only defense is that she's hot, which I don't know.
Well, they don't know either.
And also, Imagine Dragons, not that hot.
I thought that one.
Well, I think some of the ladies think that.
I think that one dude takes his shirt off all the time.
Yeah, I think the ladies think that they are hot.
Yeah.
Actually, this is Watermelon Moonshine.
This is going to sound exactly like we all think.
I knew you were going to say this. Just like every other country song.
Yeah, well, there's no chance he's going to... There's no chance he's going to admit that this is good.
He could love it. He would never say it.
Exactly. This is your problem. This is the fatal flaw.
I've never heard anything like this. Wow. Watermelon Moonshine. What a concept. We threw a blanket beneath the sunset.
Being brave.
She's so talented.
We gave each other more than
our hearts. Yeah. No, let me hear Bones by Imagine Dragons.
Bones. Drinking
watermelon. Ooh, actually, how about it be Believer? The Believer by Imagine Dragons.
I'm sorry. This is so much worse than Imagine Dragons.
No, it's not.
It's not at all.
This hunk
you're
of crap.
You're an idiot. And we're done arguing about it because you'll never, ever admit you're wrong. I like sports. Coming up here.
Listen to some Luke Bryant next, are you? Let's go. Turn up that sugar shaker in your truck. Let's go, guys.
We've got Cowboys Giants. Tonight, who really cares? We got to get into SEC and the Big Ten meeting. Apparently, they're forming an alliance. Well, they've already formed an alliance, but now they're having a meeting on what they're going to do to kill all the other conferences and programs.
I like that it's become all-out war.
In the club tonight, oh, dude, have you seen the bear story from Eastern Russia?
The bear story? No, I have not.
It's like... It's real life cocaine bear.
Really?
It's insane.
Yeah, the that area of the world, that's a whole like, it's just anything that comes from that part of the world.
Even the bears are crazy.
Yeah, it terrifies me.
Dude, I'm telling you, this story's wild.
All right. I'm excited for this one.
What a bear did in Eastern Russia. But right now, we must get to the hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
You know what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
Number five.
You know, that's actually a great drop to lead into number five here, because Dan Lanning is cooking on Josh Heupel's grill.
Oh, yeah, that is
the
true.
Recruiting grill.
Although,
so
to be fair, Heupel cooked on his grill first.
There's it's a grill off.
It is a grill off, because Tennessee flipped an Oregon recruit not too long ago.
Yeah, Ducks flip five-star offensive lineman Douglas Utu. Utu?
Yeah,
I think it's Utu.
Utu?
Yeah, he's a big deal. He's the fourth best lineman in this class, like the top 20 player. It's a big deal.
He committed to Tennessee back in June. Also, USC losing defensive lineman Bear Alexander. He has decided to redshirt and sit out the rest of the season.
You know, this came down yesterday, kind of, where he was sending out cryptic tweets around that same time, the UNLV quarterback. His doesn't appear to be NIL. He's just not happy at USC.
Well, yeah, he hasn't played much in the first three games, I guess. And he wants to be a starter. His dad came out and said he just wants to go.
Well, it just hasn't been that good. He came over from Georgia and was supposed to be a big difference maker for him, and he just hasn't been.
Number four.
This is one of those things you see a lot where the kid's a big recruit. He goes to a place like Georgia, and it's just like we expect him to be, just because he was a big name, we expected him to be great, and he just hasn't been.
Thursday Night Football pits Cowboys and Giants in New York. Dallas has won 13 of 14 in the series. Daniel Jones, shockingly, 0-12 on Monday or Thursday night.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think he's also 1-7 against the Cowboys.
Have you seen the Daniel Jones-Trevor Lawrence thing, though?
No.
So, you got time to squeeze in anyone, no way to do that.
I just hold off.
All right.
We got other things to do.
I was going
to
say, we got other business. But it's
It's a comp to Trevor Lawrence?
It's...
Yeah.
If we're all bagging on Daniel Jones, right? The conversation might need to start happening about Trevor Lawrence, because I know numbers don't tell the story of everything, but it's not good.
Number three.
Well, the Mariners will miss the playoffs for the 22nd time in 23 seasons.
We all knew it. They needed two of the three teams, the Twins, the Tigers, and the Royals, to all get swept. And they needed to sweep the A's. Well, they're not going to get the chance because two of those teams won.
Yeah, the Royals and Tigers both winning today. So that locks the Mariners out of the playoffs. It was the final game at Oakland Coliseum for the A's. And they closed out Texas in front of 47,000 who showed up. It was very emotional as the A's won it 3-2. The world's largest funeral.
It was pretty cool. I mean, it was. There's a lot of cool clips out there. You can find them on social media and people posting stuff. But I feel horrible for the people of Oakland. And that sucks because their owner is absolute trash and they deserve it better.
Meanwhile, the Mets and Braves got rained out again because of the whole hurricane thing. So they're going to play a doubleheader supposedly on Monday.
Yeah, which may decide their fate.
Yeah, the Braves play the Royals this weekend. Where are the Mets going? Oh, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. And Milwaukee doesn't have anything to play for, so fingers crossed. And by the way, in defense of Jerry DePoto, did you see the Astros, who won the division? Did you see what their win percentage was?
54%. Let's go.
Enough to get the job done, apparently.
Athletic directors of the SEC and the Big Ten are scheduled to meet jointly in Nashville next month. Among the topics, new non-NCAA enforcement arm, the college football playoff format, and, this is probably the most significant, a regular season and postseason scheduling arrangement between the leagues.
Mm.
Yahoo is reporting that they're looking to redefine the non-playoff postseason and, of course, make more cold, hard scratch.
What? Money's involved? How dare you? That's ridiculous.
So that's, look, it's all happening. Everything we predicted is happening.
Yep. It's all coming down.
It's just going to take a little time. But
and, by the way, a a revised house settlement has been presented to the judge that addresses some of those issues. So if the house settlement comes down, in theory, that could start to provide some structure for paying players, revenue sharing, all of that. So something to keep an eye on here over the next handful of days.
Number one.
About time. And number one, UNLV says no to the Pac-12 yet again. They will stay in the Mountain West along with Air Force, effectively saving that league. Yahoo Sports reports the Rebels will get $25 million from the Mountain West to stay. That dough coming from the Pac-12's payment of exit fees for the other four schools that they poached. This means both the Pac-12 and the Mountain West now need, well, actually the Pac-12 needs one member and the Mountain West needs two.
Yeah,
because Hawaii is kind of a halvesies.
Yeah, they only play football. They said they were in talks to try to make Hawaii a full member. It sounds like, though, that at least right now that hasn't happened. They could elevate them. So
the two schools that are being flirted with are Texas State and UTEP.
Yeah, that's where we're at, the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, and honestly, outside of Rice, I don't know of another. I mean, who else is there?
Well, I mean, Sacramento State came out today and said that they have raised enough money to expand their stadium and they want to go to the FBS level. And they at least said in theirs that they want to be in the Pac-12. I don't know if that would be something that the Pac-12 would be interested in or the Mountain West. But, I mean, they're trying to elevate. I haven't heard anything about North Dakota or Montana. But, I mean, unless you went poaching at Conference USA or something, I don't know. I honestly don't know who's left. I mean, you are... When you're dealing with UTEP, and Texas State's been around for how many years? They've only played football for a handful of years.
12 years.
I mean, you're kind of at the... It's the last guy out, right? Last guy, or I guess, yeah, the last guy to leave, turn out the lights. But, I mean, they both have to get to eight or else. So, you know, eventually get ready for some... exciting UTEP news.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. We will get to the Big Ten SEC meeting and settlement news. And I'm interested in the Daniel Jones-Trevor Lawrence comparisons as well. We've got some NFL talk ahead this hour. So stay right there. It's Isaac and Suk on The Fan. If you missed our interview with Dan Lanning, he was great today. Reinvigorated after the bye week. We even got this drop.
I'm cooking on your grill.
He was cooking today.
He was.
He's fired up.
He was.
He's in a good mood.
Definitely in a good mood. If you missed that, you can get it anywhere you get your podcasts or the Odyssey app or 1080thefan.com. Go download it. Take a listen. Yeah. He joins us every Thursday at 4. So we'll get to some NFL stuff in our next segment. Just reading through this Big Ten SEC meeting article. Mm-hmm. This is from Ross Dellinger. It's kind of interesting what the Big Ten and the SEC want to do. All of their ADs are going to get together in Nashville next month.
They have a big summit.
Yeah, and they're saying that that's pretty unprecedented that ADs from two different leagues meet like that. There have been very few of those. But it is very clear that those two leagues are basically just going to go do their own thing. They said that, so the LSU-USC game and the Texas-Michigan game are the two highest rated games so far in college football.
Sure.
And the Big Ten and SEC is looking at that going, well, we need more of that.
Yeah.
So what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to get a scheduling agreement together. Yeah. So, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC will be playing each other in the non-con.
Yeah. I mean, how great would it be? You mentioned we all were watching UCLA and or not UCLA, but excuse me, the USC game. And when you have that, I mean, the idea that Texas and Michigan and LSU and USC, Georgia versus Oregon. If you got that, if you gave us even to a lesser extent, let's go like Ole Miss, Penn State. And what's the one thing we complain about college football? There's not enough really good matchups. And you start giving us those at the start of the season and you maybe play those at neutral sites, you get sponsorship for them. And we know everything's for sale at this point. And those are going to do 20 million numbers. I mean, they're basically going to become bowl games in the regular season.
Yep. Big money.
They're just going to be monster dollars.
And they're also discussing overhauling the postseason.
Yeah.
So they want, for programs that don't make the college football playoff, they want ways to arrange more matchups that pair the Big Ten versus SEC as opposed to current bowl agreements.
Yeah.
And pairings of, you know, like playing the ACC or the Big 12. So, I mean, and that makes sense too. They just want to basically do their own thing.
Yeah.
Big Ten versus SEC, and that's it.
Well, when you look around, I mean, you look through the top 10, right? Miami's in there, and what? Utah.
Missouri? No, oh, wait, they're SEC.
They're SEC. So the top 10, I mean, Missouri and Utah are 10 and 11. But, yeah, if you want to go top 11, I mean, it's Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, Tennessee, Ole Miss. Your top six are SEC, Big Ten. And then you got Miami, and then Oregon, Penn State, Big Ten, and then Utah and Missouri. And then after that, it's Michigan and USC and LSU. Like, I don't blame them. Like, I don't know if it's good for the sport, but I totally understand what they're thinking. They're just kind of sitting there and being like, well, why aren't we doing this?
It's not bad for the sport, is it?
It's tough to know because, you know, we talk all the time about, like, are you losing regions? Like, Washington State, Oregon State fan all the time tells us, well, we're losing interest. And if you slice off the ACC and you just say, hey, we're not interested in you, do you lose something from that? Or does the national aspect of it become the NFL and it continues to grow? I don't know. To me, I still think it's good for football to have some variety, to have some of those others. But I may be wrong. If you gave us more of that, and if you did pick off a couple more teams from the ACC and the Big 12, maybe you wouldn't need it. Maybe you would just need two conferences. And as long as you gave us more intriguing matchups, that the rest of that wouldn't matter. And yes, you would lose some Washington State fans. You'd lose some Pitt fans or, you know, whatever. But maybe it grows the sport because now instead of one or two games every week that anyone cares about, you're constantly giving me big time matchups.
So the other thing is they want to kind of tweak the college football playoff. So in order to play those non-conference games, mm-hmm. and not have the consequences of the losses, should, you know, one of their, you know, like if you're the Big Ten commissioner, how many SEC non-conference games do you want to play? I mean, yeah. You got to be careful,
yeah.
Because you want your teams in the playoff. Well, the way that they are going about that, and this is another agenda item on this in the meeting, mm-hmm. is they want to create a 14-team playoff that features automatic qualifiers, three from the SEC and three from the Big Ten. So six of the 14 spots would be auto,
yeah.
including the champion,
yeah.
and then two for each the ACC and the Big Ten, and then that last spot would be the best, yeah. G5 champion. So that's what they want to do, yeah. to make it a little bit more palatable
to play the
big non-conference games that'll make them more money.
And again,
of course, the ACC and the Big Ten hate that.
Exactly.
Because they only get two spots as opposed to the SEC and Big Ten who get three.
Yeah, and you said the Big Ten, you mean the Big 12.
No, the SEC and the Big Ten would get three.
Yeah, but I think you said that the Big Ten didn't like it. I think you meant the Big 12.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big 12 and ACC.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard to look into a crystal ball and see what that, you know, see what that does to the sport. For me, if you made me do it, I think I'd go along with that. If you gave me more big games, again, if you gave me a guarantee that I'm going to get five or six in that early part, like the first 2 weeks of the season, I was going to get five, six, seven big time SEC Big Ten matchups where I was going to see those teams we talked about, Oregon, SC, Ohio State, Bama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia, all those teams going at it. I think I'd be willing to give up, you know, the idea that the second or third place ACC or Big 12 team don't get in. I would. Because you're making the regular season better. I still think more often than not, you're getting the majority of the best teams in the country in with those auto bids. And it still gives you access with the ACC and the Big 12. And then a group of five. It still gives the little guy a chance. It just means that for those smaller conferences, you just have to be, you basically have to win your conference.
The other thing too is, like, I feel like every year, and you can't, this isn't, there's no way to prove this, but I feel like every year there's going to be three SEC and three Big Ten teams in there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, more than likely.
Like, so the ACC and the Big 12, at least you're guaranteed,
yeah.
two spots each. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I'm with you. I think this actually is like college football on steroids. This makes sense. I'm just a viewer. Mm-hmm. I want to see a more entertaining product. Well, this would definitely do that.
Yeah.
it would also allow the Big Ten and SEC to make way more money. These are some of the things I'm talking about when I'm saying that the revenue streams of college football are grossly undervalued right now. There is so much money to be made in college football. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. They are going to make so much money if they do this. Yeah. I think that leads into the idea that down the road, perhaps there will be a governing entity that shares revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, it is moving more towards a professional model.
Certainly appears that way.
So, look, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to want to keep all the money, of course. But maybe that won't be possible down the road. And all of this is good for everyone because there will be revenue sharing and everyone will get a little cut of the pie. Maybe not at the same levels.
Oh, they're not getting it at the same level, but yeah.
But you know what I mean? I mean, you know, so you can see where this is all going. It's just going to take time to get there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, like anything else, progress, it leaves some people behind. And it will. Anytime a company merges, anytime a company grows, it just that there's people that get laid off, right? And there will be people that are laid off in this. You're going to see some programs that are get left behind, and kind of end up being irrelevant. Still, again, an access, right? You're still going to be able to put together the special season for a group of five. And as you mentioned with the Big 12 and the ACC, you're still going to get spots, not to the same level, and the revenue gaps will certainly be there. But you've brought this up a million times, and I think it's the best point you make on this, is the gaps have always been there. It's like we get mad sometimes as a regional fan about this because it feels like those schools are getting left behind. But if we're being honest with ourselves, they've always been behind. It's just that it's never been this obvious. But you're right. And someone else said on the Vancouver Ford text line, more national games will grow more national fans.
Correct.
You'll lose some of the regional stuff.
Correct.
But it'll grow more national fans.
Yeah, and another guy right after that said, well, here you're basically cutting down your audience. But I look at it the other way. If you don't care about the Big Ten and the SEC, you're not watching it anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're watching the Big 12 or the ACC or Group of Five, your teams are still playing. Your teams are still in the tournament. Yeah. So I don't know why you would be cutting down your audience. I think more like that other texter who said, now if you start having these Big Ten SEC matchups, it's still the sport where your school plays, if your school's in the Big 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're going to create more of a national interest as opposed to just your league.
Well, and when Michigan plays whoever, right? Ohio State, Oregon. There you go. Because that game is going to do a monster number, right? I mean, in what, 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks when that played. That thing is going to do, I don't know. It's going to do 16, 17 million. I mean, it's going to be a monster number. They're going to tune into that. Could be the game of the year. So my question becomes, if you're not one of those people watching, you're like, I'm tuned out, because you feel like you don't have a place at the table, that number doesn't affect you anyways. You're already not watching.
Right.
And if you are watching, are you telling me that if we go to this new model, you would stop?
Yeah.
Like, so you're watching that game now, but 3 years down the road, because it's trending that way, and because revenue is split unevenly, and there's a scheduling alliance, and it feels like it's tilted in that fashion, you're just automatically 3 years from now going to say, okay, Oregon and Ohio State are on prime time, 3 o'clock, you know, whatever, ABC, ESPN, and you're just not going to tune in. I find that hard to believe.
Couldn't agree more.
You may hurt some numbers for the smaller schools when they play. I'm not convinced that those people will tune out. This is going to be a little bit like the NFL and the kneeling thing, where we say, man, those sons of bitches, I'm never going to watch the NFL again. And, you know, screw those guys, I'm done with it. And yet, the NFL, have you seen the NFL numbers this year? Dude, they're bigger than ever. They're just, it's a juggernaut. So, you know, we love to do the I'm never watching again, and yet we always end up watching. So you've kind of won me over in this. I always thought that maybe this would be a short-term pain and then it maybe would grow, but you've kind of won me over. I don't even know if this is going to be a short-term pain thing.
It's coming fast.
I think that the people that aren't going to watch, I don't think it's going to be a significant amount.
No.
I don't think there's going to be a huge growing pain. I honestly think, kind of like you now, that when this thing ends up taking off, I just think that there'll be people that are going to be vocal about it, and there are going to be people going to be pissed about it, but the numbers are going to bear out
Correct.
That this is big.
They're coming out of the Stone Ages.
Yeah.
I mean, give me another sport major sport that we care about, and football is the sport that we care about most in this country, right?
Yeah.
Give me another sport where if you made it way better and more entertaining and pitted the best teams against each other more, yeah, that fewer people would watch. That's absurd.
Yeah.
We love football. We love American sports.
Yeah.
And if you make your leagues more palatable and entertaining,
yeah,
to the masses, they will watch.
Yeah.
It's proven. It's, yeah, a huge deal. Yeah. On TV, so
it feels weird because you know there's going to be people, they're going to be like, we're getting screwed, and yes, you will be, but you're going to the train will keep going, and the numbers are going to bear it out.
That's
because,
right,
the most watched games are going to be the big boys, and they're going to play more often.
All right,
I know I tune in.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
come on, Georgia and Alabama are playing this weekend.
Yeah, everyone's going to watch.
Yes. It'll be the highest rated game of the season by far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ohio State and Oregon are playing in 3 weeks.
It'd be massive.
It's going to be one of the top five rated games by far.
Yep. So more of those.
Just is. Yes. Yeah. More of them is good.
Because it is true. The one complaint I have about college football is, I mean, an Oregon fan, has there been a game beside the Civil War that you were excited to watch?
You mean this year?
Yeah. I mean, I know that some of them have been close, but.
Not yet. Michigan State, kind of.
That's what, you know.
Well, next week.
I think some Ducks fans were excited about Boise because they were 0-3 against them. Serious about that. I mean, it ended up, they've always been a formidable mid-major opponent. And
well, and that's what keeps college football going, too, is like, these matchups suck on paper, and then inevitably, you tune in on a Saturday.
And they still have those.
Yeah, people didn't want to see a close game, but they got one.
There you get it. You got a close game against Idaho for
God's sake.
All right, let's move on to the NFL. We'll do that next. Here's Buck. Cowboys have a 6-3 lead on the Giants with the extra point pending here. Brian Daboll looks skinny.
I haven't seen him.
Have you noticed that?
Is he thinned out? Yeah, he was a robust individual.
He was, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Super fat. Now he's not.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight, actually.
Gosh. I honestly didn't realize that was Brian Daboll.
Yeah, it looks completely different.
Huh. Dak, by the way, 9 of 10, 82 yards, and a tutty. Someone might want to get on that if you're the Giants. I mean, the Giants stink. And the Cowboys don't look particularly good either, but, you know.
Yeah, 7-3.
Maybe it wasn't absurd to think that Washington wins that division.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think it is, but still.
I don't think it's that absurd.
Dallas will be all right, and Philly, I think, it's a mess, but Philly's roster is really talented. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, you know what I would say?
What do you got?
Here's what I would say. You want to know what I would say?
Please.
Washington has the best coach of the three. They do. I think Dan Quinn's better than Mike McCarthy, and I think Dan Quinn's better than Nick Sirianni.
You know what? I can't really argue with that.
Thank you.
Boy, you kind of blew my mind with that. Yeah, the Sirianni thing. That just feels like that's just a, you know, eventually that dam's going to crack. It's just that they're so talented. I just don't see how they don't win that division. But
so is Trevor Lawrence the new Daniel Jones? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I just saw this today, and I thought it was interesting in that, you know, we were having the talk the other day about, you know, quarterback play and, you know, anointing guys too quickly. And, you know, we love to do this, you know, everything from, you know, now Jaden Daniels is the one now that is you know, the football Jesus. Who Ryan Clark had a moment where he's touching himself on TV talking about him. You know, we do this so often, and we did this with Trevor Lawrence before he ever came out of college. And here we are, Trevor Lawrence now, and we blame the Urban Meyer thing, and now he's onto another coach, and that feels like that may be onto another coach after this, because it kind of feels like Peterson's going to get fired. And I just saw someone put this out there today, for all the crap that Daniel Jones gets, and by the way, he deserves all of that.
What's he make, $40
million? $43 million, I think. And Daniel Jones is not great. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, makes more than that. And no one
55.
Yeah, no one said anything when they signed Trevor Lawrence. But and Jones has played a few more games. But Trevor Lawrence is 20-33. Okay. Daniel Jones is 23-38-1.
Okay, about the same.
About the same. Trevor Lawrence has thrown for 12,330 yards. Daniel Jones has thrown for 13,112 yards. Trevor Lawrence has thrown for 60 touchdown passes. Daniel Jones has thrown for 66. Trevor Lawrence has 40 interceptions. Daniel Jones has 42 interceptions.
Whoa, I didn't know Trevor Lawrence had that many picks.
Yep. And now Daniel
Jones. I mean, I know he turns it over, but.
And Daniel Jones turns it over to much, too. He's had some bad fumbles.
Yeah.
But rushing numbers, Daniel Jones is a much better runner than Trevor Lawrence is.
I guess Lawrence had five in that
Yeah, and then the
Chargers,
the Chargers game. So look, and when you watch the two play, Trevor Lawrence clearly is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, right? That's not hard when you actually watch them play. But we're still a results-oriented business. And at the end of the day, what do they say in the NFL? You are what your record says you are. And right now, Trevor Lawrence is not a good quarterback. The Jacksonville Jaguars are not a good team. He's about to get his second coach fired. And again, that's not saying that that's all on him. I mean, there's other reasons, but Doug Peterson's going to get fired. Brian Daboll's probably going to get fired. Trevor Lawrence is going to be onto his third quarterback. And at some point, if you're really that guy, you tend to elevate your team. And right now, Trevor Lawrence hasn't elevated anything, including blowing, like you said, that the playoff game, you know, where that thing just kind of went to hell. So, yeah.
Oh, wait, they won that game.
They won that game, but he had the five picks.
Brandon Staley. You want to know how bad Brandon Staley is? I give you that. Trevor Lawrence gave it to him five times, and he still lost.
Still lost. So, yes. It's one of those things to keep an eye on. There's certain quarterbacks that get a lot of heat, and there's others that, for whatever reason, we make a lot of excuses for. And I said this about Justin Herbert. I think Herbert gets a lot of excuses made for him. And Justin Herbert's a really, really good quarterback. I would take him over Lawrence and certainly Daniel Jones. But, you know, at some point, you got to put that stuff aside, and you got to start putting up better numbers, and you got to start winning ball games. And I just thought that was interesting when you looked at Trevor Lawrence. You know, that's not a rookie anymore, and you don't want your numbers to look that close to Daniel Jones's numbers.
Can they trade him?
Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, for that. I mean, he's making so much money now that I don't know if anybody would want that.
He makes so much money, and then you would still, because it would still go against your cap. So no, Trevor Lawrence isn't getting dealt anytime soon. I mean, it would be years down the road.
What if the Jags should go all in on Belichick? That's the big rumor now.
Yeah. Well, just, you know.
It might not be a bad way to go.
As long as Bill brought in a bright young offensive mind, because you got to bring in someone that's going to put Lawrence in position to succeed, because that was what the knock on was with Urban Meyer. And so then you brought in Doug Peterson, but Doug Peterson's supposed to be a quarterback guy, right? And, you know, what is he doing now with Lawrence? Lawrence doesn't look good. It feels like there's regression. And again, when you watch Jacksonville, like, they gave a bunch of money to Cam Robinson. Dude, that's not an elite tackle. Their offensive line isn't great. But he's had some players there over the years. He's had some weapons. I guess they did make the one trip to the playoffs, though, again, five, you know, the five picks, even though they came back and won that game. You know, I just think eventually someone may have to take a step back and realize that touchdown Jesus he's not generational. I think Trevor Lawrence can be a good quarterback. I think Trevor Lawrence has shown signs of being a good quarterback, but the stuff that we talked about him coming out of college, it feels a long ways away. Like, when you looked at Andrew Luck, who also played on bad teams, right? And Andrew Luck came into a really bad situation, and Andrew Luck immediately elevated that team. And Andrew Luck had his ups and downs and got hurt and threw some picks because there wasn't a lot around him. But this, he's closer to Daniel Jones than he is Andrew Luck.
Amendment.
Yeah.
I would like to amend something. Let's be fair. Trevor Lawrence did not throw five picks in the Chargers playoff game. Mm. He threw four.
Four.
So. And I believe all of them were in the first half.
First half, yeah. That was the huge lead. And then
they were up 27-7 at
and
half.
And then the Chargers decided to just, here.
They Brandon Staley'd it.
Like, yeah. We don't want it. Get.
All right. Poignant NFL question wraps up the hour next on The Fan. One last question. This comes to us from a listener. We have listeners.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
They asked, this person asked, Super Bowl, he will guarantee us that the Super Bowl will be the Niners and Chiefs mm-hmm. this year.
Sure.
Are you excited or disappointed? Me?
I'd be both.
Disappointed.
Yeah, I think I would rather have some new blood, to be honest with you. I just need someone besides Kansas City. If you gave me the Niners and someone else, I don't want to see the Chiefs win a third time.
It would start to feel like Warriors-Cavaliers, where you're getting Mahomes versus the super team. And
yeah, I'm kind of over it, so I don't need to see Kansas City. And not saying that Kansas City is unlikable. I like Andy Reid. I think Mahomes is an enjoyable fella. I just I need something different. I'd like to see Buffalo. I'd like to see Josh Allen break through. I'd love to see Dan Campbell get a bite at the apple. I think it'd just be
Ravens.
Fun. Yeah, I could say, you know, the Ravens back, or I don't know. I think a young team, like if Jordan Love could come back, seeing Green Bay. What about my Seahawks? Yeah, give me something different. I'd be disappointed.
It's funny how quickly we, when a team is really good, how quickly we just don't want to see them anymore.
Yeah, and
we did this with the Patriots.
And I still think Kansas City is must-see TV.
They're at least exciting.
Yeah, I just find myself rooting to, like, when they were playing the last couple weeks in the close games, I don't know why, I just find myself rooting against them. I wanted to see Cincinnati knock them off. And then who did they have last week in the close one?
Falcons.
Great
game.
Yeah, it was a great game. And I don't give two you-know-whats about Atlanta, but
Falcons
I found myself rooting for Atlanta.
Dude, we never talked about that. The Falcons did get robbed. That was pass interference.
Well, in the previous week against Cincinnati, everyone was saying, oh, the Chiefs are the beneficiary of every pass interference call, and then it flipped and went the other way against Atlanta. Pitts got absolutely mugged in the end zone, and kept the hankies in their pocket.
Isn't there this weird thing about the Chiefs where they kind of try to lose? Well, it's like they do these dumb things. You're like, why God, they're trying to lose. And they always win.
And then they need a superhero act from Mahomes or a gift from the refs to, like, survive.
I mean, this is, by the way, this isn't, like, just a fantasy thing. I'm not trying to be a hot take guy here, but...
Here it comes.
No, it's just the last 2 years, their MO is the following. They play great defense and they keep the game close. Their offense is kind of a mess. And then they have the best player on the planet kind of bail them out. When you watch what they do offensively, it's not really impressive. It just isn't. And Andy Reid is a really, really bright coach. But when you look at some of the other offensive schemes that are out there and what's being done, dude, Andy Reid is not at the forefront of this anymore. And when you watch their offense a lot, it is kind of a boggy mess. It's just buoyed by maybe the best person to ever do this damn thing. If you took him off that team and you gave them another top five quarterback, but not him, boy, I'm not saying that they would be mediocre. This isn't the same team. And so it's weird when we think about Kansas City, because we talk about their offense first because of Pat Mahomes, but it's really not. This is a defense-led team. This is closer to the Patriots formula early on. They just have a more dynamic quarterback back there. And I won't bet against that guy because he finds ways to win. If their offense was actually the way it was early in this run, this Kansas City team would be unstoppable. But it kind of feels like in the NFL now, you kind of have to pick your poison. And right now, this is a defensive team that just has Superman at the end of the games, which is why I think you said it always feels like they're trying to blow games. They're not a real disciplined team right now, and they're not a real crisp team. I mean, in that Super Bowl, how long did San Francisco shut them down for long stretches in the title game?
Well, look at Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yeah, this is, but their defense finds a way. They get a call or two, they get a big turnover, and then at the end, I don't know if there's ever been a guy that, since I've been watching football, that if I needed a yard, I needed a fourth down conversion, I needed a drive, and Tom Brady's the best to ever do it. You look at his resume, it's unquestioned. I don't care. If I had one drive, one play, I'm taking 15.
Patrick Mahomes can pull it out of his hat every time.
And I don't know how he does it, because it's so unconventional and it's off script. It just doesn't matter. He just, he finds ways.
Great kicker, too. Seriously, like, dude, I feel like it always comes down to Butker.
Yeah.
And he never misses.
And what happened in those New England Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Tom Brady would have put him in position. But, dude, if it wasn't for Vinatieri and then Gostkowski, Tom doesn't have all those rings. There's some parallels there, but we never think about Spags. We always think about Andy Reid and we think about that offense, and this may be sacrilegious. The last two Super Bowls, Spagnuolo has been a bigger influence on those Super Bowls than Andy Reid has.
By the way, Micah Parsons, blue tent.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Hard to see what happened, but it looks like
he got chipped by a running back. Pass rushing and kind of got off balance. I don't know what part of the body it was, but that was the play.
Yeah, he's in the blue tent. Cowboys lead the Giants 7-6. We'll move on to the club next. Bear news on the Fan.